Amen. You have your Bible, turn to the book of Nehemiah. Nehemiah, he's the shortest man in the Bible. Nehemiah. I know, that was terrible. While you're turning to it, I just thought I'd tell you a corny joke. All right. Nehemiah chapter 9. I'm reading from the New Living Translation today. We're going to go to verses 15 through 21. And Nehemiah chapter 9, verses 15 through 21. Later, we'll read from Psalm 78, verses 10 and 11 and 18 through 20. And then after that, we'll read from Deuteronomy 8, 2, 4, and 15. But for this part here, Nehemiah chapter 9, verses 15 through 21. Say amen when you get there.
Amen.
All right. All right, from the New Living Translation at verse 15. You gave them bread from heaven when they were hungry and water from the rock when they were thirsty. You commanded them to go and take possession of the land you had sworn to give them. But our ancestors were proud and stubborn, and they paid no attention to your commands. They refused to obey and did not remember the miracles you had done for them. Instead, they became stubborn and appointed a leader to take them back to their slavery in Egypt. But you are a God of forgiveness, gracious and merciful, slow to become angry, rich in unfailing love. You did not abandon them, even when they made an idol shaped like a calf and said, "This is your God who brought you out of Egypt." They committed terrible blasphemies. But, verse 19, but in your great mercy, you did not abandon them to die in the wilderness. The pillar of cloud still led them forward day by day, and the pillar of fire showed them the way through the night. You sent your good spirit to instruct them, and you did not stop giving them manna from heaven or water for their thirst. Finally, verse 21. For 40 years you sustained them in the wilderness, and they lacked nothing. And their clothes did not wear out, and their feet did not swell. The title of this message is Oasis in the Wilderness. Look at somebody next to you and tell them that for me. Oasis in the wilderness. You know, my brother and sister, have you ever been through a wilderness experience in your life, spiritually, I mean? It's not something that most people would say they cherish or look forward to. And anytime you've been through a wilderness experience, Israel turned a two-week trip to the promised land into a 40-year wilderness journey. And anytime that you go through a wilderness, you know, it's tough sledding, because the wilderness, what they experienced in the wilderness was the exact opposite of what God had promised them in the promised land he had given them. He promised them, go with me to Deuteronomy chapter 8. God promised them a land flowing with milk and honey. Deuteronomy chapter 8. I want to read from verses 6 through 9. He promised them a land flowing with milk and honey. And when they got to the wilderness, it was everything but what God had promised. Deuteronomy chapter 8, starting at verse 6, reading to verse 9. So obey the commands of the Lord your God by walking in his ways and fearing him. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land of flowing streams, pools of water, fountains and springs that gush out in the valleys and hills. It is a land of wheat and barley, grapevines, fig trees and pomegranates, of olive oil and honey. It is a land where food is plentiful, nothing is lacking. It is a land where iron is as common as stone and copper is abundant in the hills. And so God had promised them this land that had everything that they needed. Yet through Israel's constant disobedience and refusal to believe the Lord, they suffered terrible consequences by having to journey and wander in the wilderness. They had a wilderness experience. They prolonged it. And you know, don't let the green grass fool you today, because disobedience and refusal to believe still come with costly consequences today. Amen. Can you say amen to that? In that wilderness place, it's hot. It's dry. There's no natural provision. You're in Deuteronomy. Look down at verse 15. You're still in Deuteronomy there. Deuteronomy 8. Look at 15. Deuteronomy 8, 15. Talking about the wilderness. The promised land was 180 degrees from the wilderness. 180 degrees difference. The promised land was flowing with milk and honey and grapes and pomegranates. But the wilderness, not so. Deuteronomy 8:15, do not forget that he led you through the great and terrifying wilderness with its poisonous snakes and scorpions, where it was so hot and dry. And you know, spiritually speaking, any of us would rather live on the mountaintop fellowshipping with the Lord. That's where Moses met the Lord. That's where Moses met face to face, one on one with the Lord. But there's something much different about that in the wilderness. I've only been really in what you'd call a wilderness, really naturally speaking, one time in my life up in northern Kenya, about 60 miles below Ethiopia, and there in the Chelbi Desert, and staying with some missionaries for 2 weeks. And It was the wilderness. You know, there at 8:15, he said that wilderness had poisonous snakes and scorpions, and that was what was up there. I remember the missionary told me, he said, look, when you get up in the morning, Brother Bill, don't put your feet into your shoes because scorpions crawl in there. They're looking for something warm, and if you just jump out of bed, put your feet in your shoes, there might be a scorpion in there. I said, okay. Then he told me, he said, look, when you go out, if you got to go to the outhouse, then make sure you use this flashlight and move that flashlight back and forth, because there's a poisonous snake up here called a boomslang. And if that boomslang hits you, and he said that thing, it just darts side to side. So you don't want to hold the flashlight still, because if you hold the flashlight still, you won't see it. It's darting side to side. It goes side to side and then strikes. And he said, so move that flashlight back and forth because you're looking for that boomslang. And he introduced me to a guy, and he said, this guy is our security guard. While we're sleeping, he's our security guard for the compound. I said, oh, you have thieves? He said, no, he's looking for lions and snakes. And next morning at breakfast, he came in like nothing, had two of them. He said, I caught two last night. The wilderness experience is not something that you usually write home about. It's not something that excites you. There's nothing, it seems like, to dance about in the wilderness. And sometimes, spiritually speaking, we can go through wilderness experiences temporarily, even sometimes in our Christian walk. And, you know, if you've never had a wilderness experience as a Christian, keep living for Christ. Because at some point, I think we all go through the wilderness every now and then. The good news is that God, if we're in a wilderness, God will show up to lead you through the wilderness. The good news, if you're in a wilderness, it's a temporary situation. You remember even Jesus himself was led by the Holy Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. You remember that. The Spirit of God led him into the wilderness. And so there are times in our lives when we experience wilderness type situations, not always for the same reason. You know, Israel went through their wilderness situation because of their continual disobedience and their refusal to follow and believe the Lord. They tested him and they disobeyed 10 times and it produced a wilderness experience. It's not always disobedience, though, that causes us as believers to sometimes go through the wilderness. Every situation is not the same. Every situation doesn't have the same cause. And sometimes you can find yourself in a wilderness situation and you've been walking faithfully with the Lord, and maybe you've been doing what you're supposed to be. You're where you're supposed to be. And every now and then you can still find yourself, if you're not careful, in a wilderness situation. Sometimes it becomes a wilderness situation when somebody in your life, they go home to be with the Lord, or something happens in your family, it can produce a wilderness situation. a change in a job and situations that you were used to can change. And sometimes that can cause and create in your life a wilderness situation. And sometimes in the midst of relationships, things go on that can produce wilderness in your life. And sometimes these things can be totally unexpected. And if you get your eyes off Jesus, then it can make a wilderness situation even more complicated. In the wilderness, there's typically no comfort food to run to. The wilderness, there's no oasis of water to drink from. The wilderness is not filled with bread and meat. The wilderness has challenges all its own. I learned how to memorize Luke 10:19. Behold, I give you power to tread upon serpents, scorpions, over all the power of the enemy. Nothing shall by any means hurt you. I think I learned that up in northern Kenya. I couldn't quote it before I got there, but I could quote it when I left. Let me tell you, there's three ways, as I say, you can find yourself in a wilderness. Three ways. One way you can find yourself in a wilderness is just doing what Israel did. Look, sin, living in sin will lead you to the wilderness every time. You might be here this morning, or you might be watching through some other venue, and listen, you may not be living right. You know you're not living right. Maybe one day, maybe you used to walk with the Lord, and now you're not doing that. You know you're in a wilderness. Failure to live for Jesus in obedience will produce the driest, crustiest relationship. It will just make you crusty as a Christian. Failure to live in a thriving, vital relationship with Jesus Christ will dry you out. It will sap you of your joy. It will drain you of your strength. Failure to live for Jesus will put you in a wilderness situation. Living in sin will do that. Sin will do that. You may be here, maybe you've never trusted Christ. But listen, if you don't know Christ and the pardon of your sins, it's a wilderness. And so Israel did that. They sinned, and continual sin like that led them into the wilderness 40 years. Listen, a second way you can find yourself in a wilderness is unbelief. Israel did that as well. Unbelief will bring you to a wilderness. Failing to believe what the Lord has spoken. Failure to walk by faith and not by sight will lead you to a wilderness. Listen, the promises of God are yes and amen. Aren't you glad for the promises of God? You know, and thank God for his mighty promises. We should be those who say, like the old song, every promise in the book is mine. Thank God. But those promises are received and applied by faith. Said amen. And it's by faith and patience that we inherit the promises of God. Amen. And so unbelief will ultimately lead us to a wilderness. But living in sin will lead to a wilderness. Living in unbelief will lead us to a wilderness. But thirdly, as I say, just living for Christ will lead you to a wilderness every now and then. Just living, because we live in a fallen world. And Satan is the small g. He's the god of this world. And sometimes things happen. People, as I say, people that you love may pass away. Things happen in life. And don't panic. Don't overreact. Look to the Lord, because he will see you through. And so there are things you can learn. When you're in a wilderness experience, there are three major things you should always learn and do when you're in a wilderness experience. Number one, listen, trust God. Trust God closer. If you're going through a wilderness experience, trust the Lord closer than you ever have before. Listen, press your way into the Lord. Listen, cling close to the Lord. You get into a wilderness situation, that's not the time to run from God, run from church, run from fellowship, run from Bible study, run from Christians. No, turn around and run to him. You go through a wilderness situation, use the difficulty of that time to trust in God in a new and stronger way than you ever have before. Learn to trust God when you're feeling lonely. Learn to trust God when you're feeling discouraged. He said, I will never, ever, 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 ever leave you or forsake you. I wish I had an amen. Amen. Learn to trust him when you're feeling, when you sense lack or you feel lack in your life and you know it's not supposed to be there. Learn to trust God in the midst of that situation. Don't be like Israel. They kept asking God. They kept asking and insulting God. What are we going to do? Can you do it? Are you big enough? Are you really God? Can you get us through? Can you provide? They got to the wilderness and did the wrong thing. Go back to Deuteronomy 8, verse 3. Deuteronomy 8, verse 3, and then we're going to Psalm 78. I'm saying, what are you saying? Trust God closer. When you get to the wilderness, there's three things you can learn. Number one is trust God closer than you ever have before. When you come through that wilderness experience, you ought to be stronger as a believer. You ought to be stronger as a Christian. Amen. In Deuteronomy 8, verse 3, yes, he humbled you by letting you go hungry and then feeding you with manna, a food previously unknown to you and your ancestors. He did it to teach you that people do not live by bread alone. Rather, we live by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. Amen. Man doesn't live on bread alone, but every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Said amen. And so we've got to trust God closer than we ever have before. Over in Psalm 78, Psalm 78, verses 19 and 20. Psalm 78, 19 and 20. This message is oasis in the wilderness. There's an oasis in the wilderness. If you're in a wilderness today, God's got an oasis right there, right around you. There's an oasis. Psalm 78, verse 19 and 20. Then they spoke against God. This is what happened after Israel got to the wilderness. Then they spoke against God. How many know it's going to go downhill from here? Whatever I read next is going downhill. Then they spoke against God, and they said, can God prepare a table in the wilderness? Behold, he struck the rock so that waters gushed out and streams were overflowing. Can he give us bread also? Will he provide meat for his people? They refused to believe. God took them to the wilderness. They needed water. You know what he did? He provided an oasis right in the wilderness. Bought water from a rock and refreshed the whole nation. I said, that's impossible to bring water from a rock. My mom used to say, you can't get blood from a turnip. I never knew what my mama meant by that. But anyway, I think it's something akin to you can't get water from a rock unless you're our Father God. I said, unless you're our Father God, and then all things are possible. Because he's got the power to provide even if you're in a wilderness. And they needed water, and God bought water from the rock. And Israel drank to their fill. And drinking from the water or from the rock should have caused them to praise God more and more. They should have said, no man can do this. They should have said, only our God can do this. And if he can bring water from a rock, there's nothing he can't do. You may have trouble in your life, but there's nothing that your heavenly Father cannot do. I said, he's got the power to heal you. He's got the power to touch you. He's got the power to change you. And not only does he have that power, he's willing to use it in your behalf. I said, he's an awesome God. And an awesome God in the wilderness bought water from a rock. But instead of them saying, there's nothing our God can't do, they should have been saying, he bought water from the rock. That's not what they did. They said, well, you did that, but we ain't got no meat out here. Can you provide some meat? And the Lord provided a wind to blow and bought quail, too numerous to count. They said, well, that was all right, but we ain't got no bread. Can you provide bread? And manna rained down out of heaven. And Father God was telling them, I can do anything but fail. I'm your God, and you can trust me when you're on the mountaintop. You can trust me when you're in the valley. And hey, you can trust me if you're going through a wilderness. I said, he's worthy to be trusted. But Israel, they got themselves in trouble because they drew the wrong conclusion when water came from the rock. And you know yourself in your life, God has done some amazing things for you. God, he's brought water from a rock in different ways for you. I remember one day being in my 63 Falcon, 1983, out of gas, out of money, headed to the district office to get my paycheck, didn't have a dime. And my car, I knew my car wasn't going to make it. Lived in Richmond, Virginia. Had to get from Laburnum Avenue out on 95, get down there to Broad Street, exit, get over to the district office, get my paycheck, go over to the Sovereign Bank, cash the paycheck, then get to the first gas station. I didn't have gas to get to 95. Oh, but I started praying, calling on my awesome God. And I knew like nobody knew. I knew how to read my gas gauge. I didn't need no computer printout. Now my car, the cars will count you down. You know, you got 5 miles before you run out. I wish I had something like that. I knew I had sighted. I sighted that needle. I knew what that needle meant. I don't have the gas to get there. And I prayed. And boy, I could just feel the Holy Ghost. I felt like I'm driving in a miracle. I'm driving in a miracle. It's a miracle. Whoo, got from 95, exited down there on Broad Street, got to the district office, got my paycheck, got back in. I said, all right, Father, I knew I didn't. And the car started. I said, hallelujah. I headed to the Sovereign Bank. Went to Sovereign Bank and cashed my paycheck. And I said, Father, I've got to get the car started again. I said, hallelujah again. I said, I've got to get to the first gas station. I'm not going to be picking the first thing that's pumping. I'll go to the first gas station. And I got my car driving. I'll never forget. As I rolled up toward the first gas station, something went boom. And that was my car cutting off. That 63 Falcon cut off. But the momentum was such that I kept rolling. And there was no forward coming traffic, so I didn't have to brake. And so I just turned the wheel and pulled up there next to the pump. I'll never forget it. I said, I'll never forget it. He bought water from a rock. I'll never forget, there was a man on the other side of the island, and it's 1983. I'm driving a 63 Falcon, two-tone, blue and rust. And when I pulled up, my car is off. The car is off because it ran out of gas. And I just coasted up to the pump with just enough momentum to stop at the pump. And he turned around and he was looking at the car and he was thinking, whoa, that thing is quiet. I just put that thing in park and turned it on off. It was already off. Car been off. I coasted there. I put gas in that thing and I went home praising the Lord, said, you bought water from a rock today. You an awesome God. I ain't never seen nothing like that. I ain't never seen nothing like that. No God can do what you do. Nobody's in a category like you. Nobody can do that. I said, he's an awesome God. And when you go through a wilderness, trust God closer. Listen, secondly, when you go through the wilderness, you've got to train. You're getting training. Don't miss out on the training. God could be training you for something that's going to occur in the future. Learn the lesson, all right, of being in the wilderness, but recognize that you're only there temporarily, number one. And also, God's going to be doing something awesome in your life. And back to Psalm 78. Keep your finger in Deuteronomy. We're going right back there too. Go to Psalm 78. This time, verses 70 and 72. Psalm 78, verses 70 and 72. There are some amazing things that can be learned for the future. When you're in a wilderness, ooh, you are gaining some valuable, sure enough, valuable experience for the future. When you go through the wilderness, you are gaining an experience. You don't realize all the things that God is doing in you and through you. Psalm 78, verses 70 and 72. Again, New Living Translation. He chose his servant David, calling him from the sheep pens. He took David from tending the ewes and the lambs and made him the shepherd of Jacob's descendants, God's own people, Israel. He cared for them with a true heart and led them with skillful hands. Isn't that awesome? Now, that's what was going on behind the scenes. The Bible records. Now, David, the Bible calls him a future shepherd. He shepherded Israel. But before he ever shepherded Israel, he shepherded the sheep. And out there in the wilderness is where he did the shepherding. And out there in the wilderness is where he learned lesson after lesson after lesson that God would later use as he shepherded his people. In fact, David said a lion and a bear came and attacked the lamb. And he said, I attacked the lion and the bear. And when it came after me, I hit it with a club, grabbed it by the beard, hit it with a club. And he said, the God of heaven gave me the victory. He learned that. He learned that bravery. He learned that courage out there in the wilderness. And it helped him as he shepherded God's people. I said he learned it in the wilderness. And so God said, God said, I took him from the pasture. I took him from the wilderness. I took him from shepherding sheep. And then I enabled him to shepherd my people, Israel. God's doing more in you than you realize. And he's strengthening you. He's teaching you. He's helping you. He's building character in you. Let him work. There's training there. But then over in Deuteronomy chapter 8, go back to Deuteronomy chapter 8, talking about this train for your future. I said, there's three things you can learn from a wilderness experience. Trust God closer, train for your future, and learn from your mistakes. Learn from your mistakes. But here we're talking about train for your future. Deuteronomy 8, verse 5 through 14. Listen to this. Think about it. Just as a parent disciplines a child, the Lord your God disciplines you for your own good. So obey the commands of the Lord your God by walking in his ways and fearing him. For the Lord your God will bring you into a good land of flowing streams, pools of waters, fountains and springs that gush out in the valleys and hills. It's a land of wheat and barley, grapevines, fig trees, pomegranates, of olive oil and honey. It's a land where food is plentiful. There's nothing is lacking. It's a land where iron is as common as stone and copper is as abundant as the hills. Now, we read that in verse 10. When you have eaten your fill, be sure to praise the Lord your God for the good land he has given you. I'm going to read that again. He said, when you have eaten your fill, be sure to praise the Lord your God for the good land he has given you. Verse 11. But that is the time to be careful. Beware that in your plenty, you do not forget the Lord your God and disobey his commands, regulations, and decrees that I'm giving you today. For when you have become full and prosperous, have built fine homes to live in, and when your flocks and herds have become very large, your silver and gold have multiplied along with everything else, be careful. Do not become proud at that time and forget the Lord your God who rescued you from slavery and from the land of Egypt. God is saying, look, don't get it twisted. There's something about wilderness experiences that will make you count your blessings. That will make you stop focusing in on the forest and look at the individual trees. You had a roof over your head. You said, well, that's not the roof I wanted, but you had a roof over your head. You had bread on your table this morning. You said, well, that's not the bread I wanted, but you had bread on your table. You probably came here driving in an automobile. You said, that ain't the car I wanted, but you had a car to drive in. Somebody said, I didn't have a car to drive in. You had a bike to ride. Somebody said, I didn't have a bike to ride. You got here walking. You are here today, and whatever is wrong, for whatever is wrong, there are 100 things going right for every one thing that may be going wrong. I said, I wish I had a bigger amen than that. Are you here? Are you breathing? Did God wake you up? If he woke you up, you're blessed. And you ought to thank him for it. You ought to thank him for your health and your strength. You ought to thank him for that. You ought to thank him. If you had bread to eat last night, you ought to thank him for that. If you had strength in your bones to get up and move, you ought to thank him for that. For every little blessing, you ought to count your blessings and thank him. Learn to count your blessings. And I remember, you know, wherever you're from, you know, it's when you get home. Sometimes people come here to the States and they're from another country. They go home, man, it's just like they want to kiss the ground of their home country. I understand that. I came back from a mission trip one time, man, I got down with several. We just kissed the ground. I said, now I want to go to McDonald's and get a hamburger. When I first got to Kenya, it was so hot. And Kenya's beautiful. Oh, there's, how do you describe Kenya? Kenya's so beautiful. The people more beautiful than the land. But, man, where we were, just wanted ice water. But ice was a luxury. Didn't have, now down in Nairobi's like Tulsa. But out in the, you know, out further out in the desert, there's no ice up there. And so just, oh, man. First we got up there, wanted soda baridi, cold soda. But after about 3 days, forget about the soda. Just take, you know, just water, just ice water. And man, it just made us thankful. Thinking, man, every day we got a hot shower. You know, for 2 weeks you take a shower, a cold shower, and there because there's no hot water. And then, but then it makes you think, man. You know, every day I have a hot shower at home. I never say thank you for that. Every day I have ice cubes, numerous in abundance. I never say thank you for that. You can't get no amen, amen when you talk like this. And Christians will run around crying about food with a loaf of bread under their arm. Thirdly, listen. Not only, when you're in the wilderness, listen, trust God closer, train for the future, realize what God's doing for the future, but listen, learn from mistakes. Learn from mistakes. Number three, learn from mistakes. It's so important to learn from mistakes. As I mentioned earlier, a mistake is not always the reason that somebody goes through the wilderness. It's not always the reason. So don't just, when you see people going through a wilderness, don't just assume, oh, they made a mistake. No. But on the other hand, if through some failure of your own part, including disobedience, you find yourself in a wilderness, then the first thing to do is to repent. And the next thing to do is to learn from it so that you don't make the same mistake again. And the Bible says about Israel in Psalm 78, verse 10 again, it says, they did not keep his covenant of God and refused to walk in his law. They forgot his deeds and his miracles that he had shown them. And in their heart, they put God to the test by asking him for food according to their desire. They'd never learn from their mistakes. Let me end with this, and I'm going to end giving you my three main points now. I gave you all of those different points, but these next three points I want to give you, these are my main points. That's what I came here to tell you. Three things God will never fail to do for you when you're in the wilderness. Three things that God will never fail. He'll never fail. He'll never fail to do for you when you go through a wilderness. It's in that wilderness that, as I say, people get shaky. People get isolated. People get alone, and the devil loves that when he can isolate a Christian and get them alone by themselves, away from fellowship. Don't let him do that. You're going through a wilderness. You need to make yourself go to fellowship. Make yourself get up and come to church. Make yourself go and hook up with the Link team or go get involved. Make yourself go and help somebody else. I said, I wish I had a bigger amen than that. And oftentimes when people are going through a wilderness and it's something that they did, they may feel a measure of guilt and they don't want to be as close to God as they were before that. But let me tell you what the Lord will do. He'll leave the 99 sheep and he'll come checking on one lamb. He'll come checking on you. And so the first point is this. My first point is this. Three things God will never fail to do when you are in the wilderness. Number one, he will not fail to find you. He will find you there. The wilderness is a place oftentimes where people go to hide. They create their own private island, their own private world, and suddenly they're not taking anybody's calls, and suddenly they don't show up at Bible study, and you don't see them sitting where they were supposed to be sitting in church, and you know they were supposed to go, and that y'all were going to the restaurant, and they didn't come, and they're hiding somewhere. But let me tell you this about Father God. He'll leave the 99 lambs, and he'll come check on you. My first point is he will not fail to find you. God knows your name and he's called you by name and he knows who you are and he knows what you're going through. He found Adam when he was hiding in the garden. Not only that, he found Elijah under that juniper tree. He found Daniel in a lion's den. He found Jonah in the belly of a whale. On and on again, the Lord will find out your hiding place. And wherever you've gone to get away from him, he can find you. And if you're hiding and worrying and lonely and fearful or troubled, God will seek you out. He loves you like that. Matter of fact, Psalm 139, verses 7 through 12 says this. Psalm 139, verses 7 through 12, it says this. Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the dawn, if I dwell in the remotest part of the sea, even there, your hand will lead me and your right hand will lay hold of me. I like that. If I say, verse 11, if I say, surely the darkness will overwhelm me and the light around me will be night, even the darkness is not dark to you and the night is as bright as the day. Darkness and light are alike to you. David was saying, there's nowhere I can go. There's nowhere I can hide. That God won't meet me, that God won't find me. The first thing, he will not fail to find you. And let me tell you what he'll do after he finds you. And remember this, when you're in a wilderness, it's temporary. You're not alone. God has not forgotten you, and it's temporary. And remember, the enemy wants you to think you're alone so that he can get you discouraged and quit. But when God finds you, when he finds your hiding place, here's what he'll do next. This is not my next point. This is all part of the same point. He will not fail to find you. And what he'll do next is he will guide you. When he finds you there, he will guide you. Back to Nehemiah chapter 9, verses 19 and 20. Verses 18 through 20. It's Nehemiah 9, 18 through 20. It says, even when they made an idol shaped like a calf and said, this is your God who brought you out of Egypt, they committed terrible blasphemies, but in your great mercy, you did not abandon them to die in the wilderness. The pillar of cloud still led them forward by day, and the pillar of fire showed them the way through the night. You sent your good spirit to instruct them, and you did not stop giving them manna from heaven or water for their thirst. And all of those leadings were external. But let me tell you this. Today, the pillars of cloud and the pillars of fire that God led Israel with, listen, today, that can be described as his holy word and the inward witness through the Holy Spirit leading us in our spirits, Romans 8, 14 and 16. The first place that God guides us is through his word, my brother and sister. He guided Israel. He found them. He guided them. And he led them with a pillar of fire and a pillar of cloud. And they didn't move until the cloud moved or the fire moved. The Lord's doing that same thing today. And if you're in a wilderness, you need answers. And God will help you. He will guide you. And he's still using the pillar of fire and the pillar of cloud, but today it's his holy word and it's his spirit on the inside of you through the inward witness. I said, God will lead you and he will guide you today. Brother Hagin used to quote that most Christians feed their bodies 3 hot meals per day and their spirit 3 cold snacks a week and then wonder why they're so weak in faith. But sometimes we're guilty of that today. And let me tell you this, we've got to stop grumbling and get in the word. God's never going to be able to guide you while you're grumbling and complaining about the wilderness you're in. Stop complaining, stop whining. If you'll stop whining, the Lord will teach you how to start winning. And he'll be able to guide you. And he guides us with our spirit in the inner man. So first, listen, first, he will not fail to find you. Second, he will not fail to feed you. I said, the Lord will feed you there. And he's faithful even when we're not faithful. He provided for Israel in a desert where there was no food available anywhere, no water available anywhere, and yet God did it for him. Deuteronomy 8:4. For all these 40 years, your clothes did not wear out and your feet did not blister or swell. Look at God. For 40 years in a desert, God caused their clothes not to wear out and their feet not to blister or swell. Now, any God who can do that is a God who can take care of you. I said, any God who can do that is a God who can meet your need. I'm round and third headed home. Deuteronomy 8:15. Don't forget that he led you through the great terrifying wilderness. Again, with its poisonous snakes and scorpions, where it was so hot and dry. He gave you water from a rock. He fed you with manna in the wilderness, a food unknown to your ancestors. Nehemiah 9:21, to finish on this part. For 40 years you sustained them in the wilderness and they lacked nothing. Their clothes did not wear out, their feet did not swell again. David said it this way. He said, I've been young, but now I'm old, yet I've never seen the righteous forsaken or their seed begging bread. And God can take care of you just like that, my friend. Thirdly and finally, my final point today. I said to you, my first point was he will not fail to find you. Because when he finds you, then he'll lead you and guide you. You need answers, and God's got your answers, and he'll guide you. You stop grumbling and complaining. Secondly, he'll not fail to feed you. God will provide for you. There's an oasis all around you. If you'll respond in faith, stop grumbling, you'll see there's water right there. He'll bring water out of a rock for you. Thirdly, he will not fail to forgive you. There are times when we all stand in need of forgiveness. But let me tell you, the thing between us and forgiveness is repentance. And God is long-suffering. You saw what he did with Israel. Even after they did all of that, the Bible says God didn't leave them. He didn't forsake them. He didn't let them die in that desert. He provided for them. He took care of their feet. He took care of their clothes. He took care of their water. He took care of their bread. He took care of their food. He put a cloud covering over them, led them by fire at night. He did everything they needed. And so, remember, Israel was in that desert because of their disobedience, their unwillingness to trust and believe God, what God said. But my friend, you may be in a desert for a different reason today. And if it's hot and dry and barren, then you've got to remember, Isaiah 1:19 says, if you be willing and obedient, you'll do what? You'll eat the good of the land. You'll eat the good of the land if you'll change your attitude, if you'll be willing and obedient. All it takes is making an adjustment. Changing your attitude about what's going on. Getting your eyes back on the Lord Jesus. Let me conclude this message. Let me tell you that if you don't know Jesus Christ today and the forgiveness of your sins, if you've never been freed from the burden, if you've never experienced the freedom of life without sin and the burden of sin, then you're in the worst wilderness of all. That wilderness of sin will torch you and burn you up. And the Bible says this, my last scripture for you, Psalm 78, verses 7 and 9, my last scripture today. So each generation should set its hope anew on God, not forgetting his glorious miracles and obeying his commands. And then they will be like their then they will not be like their ancestors, stubborn, rebellious, unfaithful, refusing to give their hearts to God. The warriors of Ephraim, though armed with bows, turned their backs and fled on the day of battle. They did not keep God's covenant, and they refused to live by his instructions. And God is saying to you today, my friend, it's time for you to get out of that wilderness. Whatever kind of wilderness you're living in, however you got there, it's time to get out of that wilderness. Come home to the Lord. He's trying to help somebody in this place. Maybe somebody watching through some other venue. Someone listening to the sound of my voice. He's trying to help you. My question is, are you going to be like Israel? They were too stubborn. They were too rebellious to repent. They were unfaithful, refusing, the Bible said, we read Psalm 78 right there, they refused to give their hearts to the Lord. With every head bowed in this place, with every head bowed. You know, it was the Lord Jesus, he prayed in the garden, Father, if you're willing, you can let this cup pass from me. But as we found out through the word, the only way to redeem mankind was to actually drink from that cup. And Jesus did that. He did that for you and I. And so he realized the only way to redeem mankind was to suffer the brutal, torturous beating and then the crucifixion, where he paid the price for your sins and mine. And Isaiah says that Christ was beaten so horribly that his face and body would have been disfigured and unrecognizable. I want to ask you, my friend, are you going to be more concerned about what other people think about you today in this place? Or are you going to be more concerned about what the Lord thinks about you? Because if you're concerned about people today, you don't really want to be free. You're not hungry enough to be free. You're not hurting. Oh, but when you want to be free, when you want to be forgiven, and when you want to make it right, you'll take your eyes off of people and you'll see the eyes of the Lord and how much he loves you and cares for you. And Jesus said this, if you're going to be ashamed of me, I'll be ashamed of you. When I'm with my Father, I'll be ashamed of you. But if you're not ashamed of me, I won't be ashamed of you. Is that someone you today? Let me see your hand in this place. You say, look, I know I'm not living right. I'm a Christian. I'm out of fellowship with God. I'm not living right. And I want to make things right with God. Every head is bowed. Ushers, help me. You say, I want to make it right. Something's going on in my heart right now. Something's going on in my life right now. And I want to make it right. Let me see your hand in this place. I want to pray for you. Yes. See your hand. Yes. Thank you. Yes. Yes. I want to make it right. I don't want to go on living like I'm. Yes. I see your hand. Thank you. I don't want to go on living like this. I'm in a desert place. I'm in a dry place. I know there's an oasis around me. I can't seem to find it. Let me tell you something. God loves you. And if you'll make it right. Repentance means to turn around. It means to be sincere and to make a turn. And the Bible says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Maybe you're here today and maybe you've never given your life to Jesus. Maybe you don't know what it's like to have given your life to Jesus previously. And you've been in the desert for a long time. But today you want to make it right. You want to get right with God. You want to give your life to Jesus. You want to accept God's offer of forgiveness. Let me see your hand in this place. Pray for me. I want to give my life to Jesus. I want to turn my life over to the Lord. Let me see your hand in this place. I want to make it right. I want to make it right. God wants to do some amazing things in you, but the things that he's going to do start with your first step. And as God is dealing with your heart, you know something's going on in you, something's going on in you. God is dealing with you. God's dealing with you, and he wants to help you. And you know it. You know it's sitting there. God's dealing with you. You can sense his spirit dealing with you. This is your time, my friend. I want you to do something for me. I'm just going to count to three. I'm going to count to three. And you raised your hand on either of those invitations. And when I get to three, I just want you to boldly just stand up right where you're at. Just stand right where you're at. I'm going to count to three. And you lifted your hand a moment ago, or you should have lifted your hand. The Holy Spirit's dealing with you. I'm going to count to three. And all I want you to do is stand boldly on your feet. One, get ready. God's going to change you. God's going to help you. God's going to heal you. Two, get ready now. Get your eyes off of people. Get your eyes off of everything that's happened before. God's got an oasis for you. He's got an oasis of healing, an oasis of provision. Three, I just want you to stand right up on your feet. Come on, just stand right up on your feet. You raised your hand a moment ago. That's right. Just stand right up on your feet. Just pop right up on your feet. That's right. That's right. Show God you mean business. Show God you mean business. I mean business this time, God. I'm not playing. I mean business. I need your help. I want you to do one more thing. I want you to step out of the aisle. Step out into the aisle and come down here and let me pray for you. Let God help you. Just step. Just excuse yourself. Don't worry about people. Will be glad to excuse. Just step right out in the aisle. Come down here. Come down here. Let me pray for you. God's going to help you. Oh, God's going to strengthen you. God's going to turn it around. God is 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 going to turn it around. Oh, God sees you. He loves you. He sees what you've been going through. Oh, and the Lord, He's going to turn it around. He's going to turn it around. God's going to help you. Oh, yes, He is. God is going to help you. He's going to give you what you need. He's going to strengthen you. He's going to heal you. He's going to help you. In the congregation, stand up on your feet. Somebody else may be here and you're afraid to come down. You're still afraid. You're still afraid. Listen, turn to the person next to you. Ask them, do you want me to go down with you? Do you need to go down and make something right with God? Don't be afraid. Ask them, do you need to make something right with God? Look in their eyes. Do you need to get right with God? I'll go down there with you. Bring them on down here. Bring them. I'll go down with you. Bring them down here. Just step out in the aisle, both of you. Just come on down here. Just bring them down here. God's going to help them. God's going to help you. You trust Him. He's going to bring you through. Just bring them right on down here. You see, I'll go right down with you. Oh, God's got something awesome in store for you. He's got something so awesome in store for you. God's helping you. Oh, God's helping you. The Bible says He opposes the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. Oh, a humble man, a humble woman, God will help them. Oh, praise God. He'll help a humble man. He'll help a humble woman. Praise God. Yes, He will. God opposes the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. Are you going to sit there? Are you going to sit there in pride? Are you going to come down here and let the Lord help you? Oh, glory to God. 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 Come on, let Him help you. God's trying to get something to you. God's trying to help you today. Oh, glory to God. Glory to God. Praise God. Praise God. God bless you. God bless you. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Listen, down here in the line, I want you to do one thing. I want you to lift one hand to the Lord. It's a sign that, Father, we're coming to you. We're not coming to a man. That's right. Come on. There's plenty of time. Come on. You're all right. Praise God. Just lift one hand to the Lord. Lift one hand to the Lord. Because you know, we're not coming to a man. I'm just a man. I'm just a human man. Oh, but we serve an awesome God. And let me tell you what He sees. He sees your faith. He saw you step out. He saw you come down here. And He is going to meet you in an awesome way. Oh, glory to God. You better get yourself ready. Because now you're dealing with the God of heaven. And you've taken a step. Oh, that's gotten God's attention. Hallelujah. I want everybody to pray this prayer after me. Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus. I just repent of my sins. I ask you to forgive me. I know you sent Jesus. He died on the cross for my sins. For me personally, He paid my price. I accept your offer of forgiveness. Father, I will live for you. I will serve you every day of my life. Thank you for cleansing me. Thank you for wiping my slate clean. Thank you for throwing my sins into the deepest ocean, never to remember them anymore. And I'm going to walk for you and live for you and serve you. So make me the person that you want me to be. In Jesus' name, Amen. Oh, man, oh, man, oh, man, oh, man. God, you've gotten the Lord's attention. Let me tell you this. This is Reverend Greg here, and he is the leader of the prayer room, and he's going to take you there and give you some free materials from Pastor and Mrs. Hagen, and then a group of people will be able to sit with you individually and make sure you get every question answered. And if there's something you need from the Lord, the power of agreement, God is going to do that. But let me tell you this. You write this day down in your calendar, in your planner, in your iPad. You write this day down because things are going to change for you. God, you've gotten God's attention, and now he's going to get yours. Your step of faith is going to cause God to do awesome things in your life. I just want you to go with Reverend Greg at this time, and they're going to give you some materials for you and help you. And family, church family, let's encourage them. Your purse, you can get your purse. Yeah, get your purse. Go ahead. Go get your purse. Praise God. Praise God. These ladies want to get their purse. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Come on, we can do better than that. Let them hear it. How many remember when you came down, when you came forward to receive Christ or to rededicate your life to the Lord? And it was a glory. It's a glorious time. The Bible says there's more joy in heaven when one person turns back to the Lord. Amen. You can't get this kind of joy riding in a Cadillac. Your BMW may have a smooth ride, but you can't get this kind of joy. Now, this joy only comes from heaven. Praise God. God's an awesome, awesome, awesome God. Oh, praise God.